You're listening to The Coffee Hour. I'm Sarah Golseth.
I'm Andy Bates.
And we have another installment. It's time for another installment.
It sounds like I owe money, an installment.
I mean, maybe. I don't maybe. Know. I don't know. I don't know your bank account. It's time for another interview. Is that better? Another
Much
conversation.
Better. There you go. I like that.
A lively conversation. Maybe. Maybe not. With another author of a chapter in He Restores My Soul, which is a fantastic book that's coming out from Emmanuel Press about the crosses that we bear and how to bear our crosses and help others bear the crosses that they deal with from a Lutheran Christian worldview perspective. So we have joining us on the phone today, Christina Roberts, cantor at Our Savior Lutheran Church in Grand Rapids, Michigan. Welcome, Christina.
Thank you.
Thanks for joining us today on the Coffee Hour. And we're talking about your chapter three in He Restores My Soul. What shall I render to the Lord based on Psalm 23, verse 2? He makes me to lie down in green pastures. And I know we've had you on before to talk about your role as a cantor, but in case people didn't catch that interview, what do you do in your role as cantor at Our Savior Lutheran Church?
My role as cantor is to facilitate the congregation's song, and so I have musical training and theological training, and to sum it up really quickly, I want the people to sing, and I do everything within my power to help them sing, and sometimes that's playing organ, and sometimes that's directing choirs, and sometimes that's teaching them how to read quarter notes and half notes, and sometimes that's, teaching them how to find the theological hidden things that are like in Bach cantatas. So it's a wide range of things, but it's all to help the congregation to sing the Lord's word.
Which sounds like a fantastic job, I think.
It is the best.
And so your chapter actually involves some of that vocation. Tell me a little bit about your chapter topic and why it's personal for you.
I think that there's probably a little bit of a misconception about the general emotional well-being of someone in the role of a church musician, right? I think that people hear happy music and grand music, and they assume that probably the person playing it is also happy and grand, and that's not always the case. Sometimes it is, and sometimes it's not. But we as church musicians are real people with real struggles, and we fight despair and depression and anxiety, and it isn't all happy-go-lucky and dancing little eighth notes everywhere. There's some really serious weights to what we're doing, and with that comes a lot of emotional stress, and but also with it comes this complete we're just saturated in the solution to all of those problems too, which is Christ. And so while our job comes with lots of difficult things, it also has an abundance of Christ's word and his gifts, and being able to show both sides of that to people is what I'm trying to do in this chapter, because the gifts aren't there just for church musicians. They're there for everyone, whether you're a church worker or a mom or an accountant or a radio host.
I want to talk about music and how it is. It can really be a couple of things. It can be expressive on our part, but it also can be a great a tool for teaching. I'm sure it can be used in a number of ways. And as you were talking about, as a church musician, sometimes there are misconceptions that people think that it's that being a musician is always about being joyful. But look at one of the greatest and probably oldest songbooks we have. Look at the Psalms.
Yeah.
And yeah. What do we see in the Psalms that were sung? What do we see in those in that range of emotions?
Yeah, the Psalms are so rich in the entire human experience. From the greatest Psalms of praise and joy to the depths of despair that hopefully not everyone even has to deal with. They're so how varied our human emotions and our responses to God's word are. And I find myself returning to the Psalms more and more as I grow older. They become even more important to me. To know that we are not alone in the way that the world is treating us. We look back and I think all the time of the psalmist, soaking his couch with tears, and how often, my pillow too has just been drenched with my uncontrollable sobbing. And we're not, we're alike. And we can turn to those words that the psalmist cried out and return to the things that the Lord has asked. And he gives us the words when we don't have them ourselves, and they're right there for us. And they're Christ words, and that he himself prayed those words for us and wants us to continue using them to have his promises and his comforts.
So along those same lines, when the emotions don't match up with maybe what you're singing or playing, what happens when the hymn that you're singing is joyful, but inside it's not quite jiving?
I thank the Lord for great muscle memory that allows me to keep playing even though my mind is not matching up. But then I often find myself just making excuses to people, like, "Oh, I'm just really tired." You know, mm-hmm. Easter morning comes along and I'm usually really spent by that point. Mm-hmm. I make these little things like, I'm really exhausted. But it's more than just I need a little more sleep than Holy Week allows. It's, I'm wearied by my own sin. And I sit on the organ bench and I see the entire congregation file in, and I can see the burdens that they're bearing as they walk in. And then you have to turn around and play Jesus Christ is Risen Today. Well, that's the cure right there. I have to remember that and remember that God's word is there for me, whether I know it and whether I feel it and whether I can see it, that it's always there, always working, and to let that have its way with my emotions, even when Satan's trying to use them to fight against it.
Right. How much... And it's not like a magic pill or magic potion or anything, but how much does having to be in that space and in the liturgy help get through the harder times?
Oh, I think it absolutely does. I often sort of jokingly say, God put me in this job because he knows that I need his word more than the average person. And I say it as a joke, but I actually don't think it's a joke at all. I think it's true. Mm-hmm. I really, and we all do. We all need to be surrounded by his word all of the time. And so to have it basically my job description is such a blessing. This week I'm working on a bunch of compositions actually by Katie Shorman, the editor mm-hmm. of the book. And she's written a bunch of hymn texts and I'm writing music to go along with them. And I'll just get like one line stuck in my head, so it can be a Tuesday morning and in my head over and over and over again, I'm hearing the words, the dwelling place of God is with man, because that's the line that she's written and that's the music I'm working on. And to have one phrase like that embed itself and remind me over and over and over again that God is with us all of the time, is one of the greatest gifts that the Lord has given me in this position.
So the gift of melodies, and to take it even further, melodies that become earworms.
Mm. Yeah,
are a good gift.
I love them.
Liturgical earworms are the best.
They are. And they just sneak up on you when you need them and mm-hmm. you don't know that you need them. And then you go, oh, yeah, that's right.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
And that's the beauty of the liturgy. It's so embedded in us that that it can rescue us when we don't know that we need rescuing.
Isn't that amazing that even hearing the word in a song can bring that out in us, recognizing that convict us that you know, I didn't even realize I needed to hear God's word today. I had forgotten that I needed to hear God's word.
And
then to attach a melody.
Left my own devices, I'll never remember, but God plants his word in all sorts of wonderful places so that we hear it and we remember it.
Hmm.
And that's such a gift.
I suppose perhaps this is also why you mentioned Easter services, Resurrection Day services, and the, you know, the hymns, the music that you get to play on those days. But another time of perhaps sorrow, funerals.
Yeah.
You know, I'm sure that's challenging too, especially if you are, you know, personally connected to the loved one who has left this earthly life.
You know, and in my job so often, I'm very connected to these people. I mean, they're our congregation, and my eyes can completely cloud over with tears, and the Lord causes my hands and my feet to sort of just kick into gear and do what they're supposed to do. But then those phrases and those words connect all the times you've heard them together, so that you remember the entire context of life and death and the promise of the resurrection. And it's such a gift to have the entire Christian life filled with the same words, so that we know that those promises are true all of our days.
We'll jump just about a minute left, but what would you like readers to understand or glean from your chapter?
That as they're struggling, that the cure for what's wrong with them is Christ, and it may not always feel like that's the cure, but his gospel is healing us, and that they too can have these wonderful gifts that I have by being in church. And even though sometimes it's hard to deal with all the people, just coming and, you know, hide behind your hymnal and sing with us, and let those earworms implant themselves and go to Christ and his word and his psalms and what he has done for you, and know that even when you don't feel that that is the cure, that is the thing that is really saving you.
Christina Roberts, cantor at Our Savior Lutheran Church in Grand Rapids, Michigan, talking about her chapter in the book, He Restores My Soul, available from Emmanuel Press. Christina, thanks for joining us on the Coffee Hour.
Thank you.
You can find that book at emmanuelpress.us. You're listening to the Coffee Hour. I'm Sarah Golseth.
I'm Andy Bates.
Coffee Hour with Andy and Sarah is a production of KFUO. To support the Coffee Hour and KFUO Radio, visit KFUO.org. You can also text KFUO to 41444 or send an email to gifts@KFUO.org. And you can call us at 800-844-0524. KFUO. Christ for you, anytime, anywhere.